You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. We go back to the Ohio Business Machines hotline, and we're happy to bring in Mike Sanda from ESPN. Mike, you were at the game on Monday. Your takeaways from this Browns team at this point in the season?
Well, they just look like a team that's been put together, you know, by a lot of interests that aren't necessarily unified. You know, you don't really know who is everyone on board with the quarterback situation. Why is Dwayne Bowe on the sideline when they paid him a ton of money? You know, there's just a lot of different things that if you're watching this team, you would hope that there could be something redeeming pulled out of it by the end of the year. And I think the only way that can happen is if you feel good about the quarterback situation, at least better, you know. So I think somehow, some way, Johnny Manziel has to play from here, because, you know, we're sitting there watching the game on Monday night going, you know, why else do you want to watch the team? If you're the owner of the team, you know, what are you interested in? You know, what has to happen for this to be redeeming and meaningful, you know, regardless of whether the product on the field's, you know, what it should be. You're looking ahead already. And to me, it's not meaningful to watch the game the other night. What did we learn?
And that all being said, Austin Davis was named the starter by Mike Pettine. Are you of the same mindset that essentially the next five, or at least the next one versus Cincinnati Bengals, is not worth watching as long as Austin Davis is the quarterback and not Johnny Manziel?
I wouldn't quite go. I would say for most people, the answer would be yes. I'm actually interested in seeing new quarterbacks. I've seen some decent things from Austin Davis in the past when he was with the Rams. You know, their situation, obviously, they haven't gotten the most of their quarterbacks either. So, for a game, would I want to see Austin Davis? I suppose. But I think we all know that Johnny Manziel has a different level of upside there. And so you have to balance this whole thing of trying to hold him accountable, not enable him. You know, I know everyone's annoyed by the whole situation, probably in the building, outside the building. But somehow, some way, you have to see more of him. And you know, that it's not like it's week 16 and you're out of time, but I would, from a Browns standpoint, if I'm their owner or someone very interested in that team doing well in the future, I'm hoping that there's a, you know, 4-game run at least of Manziel, just to see more and develop them.
Mike, with this team and the direction, what are you hearing about the coaching staff, the general manager, et cetera, based on where they are right now?
Yeah, well, no one thinks it's a fully unified operation. You know, no one in the league does. Other teams, other people. You know, you can see obvious signs. You know, in the most important areas, which is number one, quarterback. You know, just the handle, how it's being handled, how the quarterback and how Bowe are being handled, are just two things that stand out. You know, to people that make you wonder, is everyone pulling in the same direction? It's hard enough to win. You know, look at, like, Baltimore was there the other night, perfect example. I mean, they're having a hard time winning with just bad things happening, but, you know, they basically have, you know, they're unified from the owner to the GM to the coach to the quarterback. In those four areas, yep, they kind of know where they want to hit. So you get a feeling, even though this season's gone terribly wrong, no one's sitting there panicking about it. You know, you feel like in the long arc of things, it's going to be okay. You look at the rest of that whole division. That's the whole MO of the division. You know, everyone has the same coach, the same general, quarterback, the same GM or people making the decisions. You know, you're not questioning that stuff. Until you're not questioning that stuff, you got a problem. You know, and I think that's clear from Cleveland. And so, you know, what's going to happen with the GM and the coach? I mean, are they going to just go forward with the same group again? I guess I'll believe it when I see it.
And Nathan asked you the national perspective on Mike Pettine, Ray Farmer moving forward as leadership here in Cleveland. But how about the league-wide perspective on Johnny Manziel after he'd been named the starter for the remaining six games, and then what he does over the course of the bye week to go from first to third? And what teams out there, and you don't have to be specific, but are there teams out there that would give Johnny Manziel a look if his time here in Cleveland at the end of the season is in fact over?
Well, none of us knows for sure. It's really easy. This is a really easy job from the outside. You know, we all have the answers, and it makes a lot of sense. So I don't. But you know, just to be fair to the Browns, I don't know the full extent of what's gone on internally regarding Manziel, there may be 100 other things they know about that are great reasons for them not to play him. You know what I mean? They're probably not telling us everything, right? We hear things here or there, but we don't know everything that's going on. So I say that in fairness. But also, you know, just from talking, when you talk to people in the league, you know, there's a lot of quarterbacks in the history of the game who had a few things going on the side and played on Sunday. You know, I mean, if we had, I was just going back today and reading, I was actually looking through some old quarterback stuff from the 90s, and I stumbled across this article in the New York Times from 1996 when Brett Favre came forward and said he had been addicted to painkillers and was going into rehab. Do you think there's ever was ever some things going on with Brett Favre during his run, early days? Do you think he was a little bit of a wild man? Do you think you could have made a decision to sit him down for a month? You sure could have, right?
Yep.
It's a different time now, and Manziel revels in this celebrity status, or at least seems to have. He's not helping himself in any way. But I think we have to separate the felonies from the misdemeanors here and be honest with what – be honest that not everyone in the NFL or on the radio or –
I think we lost Mike, unfortunately.
He's getting good.
Oh, there you go. Oh, there he is. He's back.
Yeah. I was just saying we have to separate the misdemeanors from the felonies here and be honest that you know, not everyone's the going to be the greatest guy all the time, and it doesn't mean you just sit him down forever. So we don't know the full extent of why he's out, but I would think he's got to play at some point here, just as a football organization, that has to be, you have to do that to have a chance, at least at that position. As far as other teams being interested, yes, I would sure think so, because look at who's playing quarterback in the league. How could you not be interested in at least giving a look at a guy if you're the Rams or 10 teams right now? I mean, it's a mess. There's just not enough of them. You know, if you really want a great play in this league, you reduce to 24 teams and 14 games. But that's not happening because money's the bottom line.
It certainly is. Talking with Mike Sando from ESPN. Mike, when you look at this Browns team, who, if anyone, do you see as really the kind of foundational building blocks going forward that at least this team can try to formulate around?
John Clayton and I just had this conversation like an hour ago, and I was like, John, who of their young guys is playing great? And we're like, I guess Petonio's played pretty well. And I said, okay, great. We're going to build around a guard, you know? I don't know. We just watched I watched a lot of the Browns coming into this Monday night game. And do you feel like the players that they've drafted, the young guys, who's playing great?
Duke Johnson's playing well when given the opportunity.
Pretty good. Yep, pretty good. But, you know, there's a number of people you'd want to have on the team as you're building for the future. But, you know, as far as people you're hanging your hat on, who are the leaders emerging? You know, who's the strong leaders? Who's taking charge of that locker room that's a younger guy? You know,
None.
So, you know, maybe that's the answer. You don't, obviously there are some good players there, but I don't have a great answer to your question. I don't feel great about it.
And beyond just, you know, the potential, you know, turnover at coach, is this a roster, as you look at it, that has spent some money this past season in that second week of free agency that's going to have a little bit more significant turnover? I believe they have 11, if not 12 picks in the upcoming draft. So, you know, Carlos Dansby is going to be in the last year of his deal. Dante Whitner, Andrew Hawkins, Randy Starks, Dwayne Bowe, of course, this year. Are those guys that you see coming back, or 50% are coming back and the other 50% they're going to move on in a different direction with?
Well, you definitely, I think you lean towards moving on, and then especially if there's change with coach and or GM, which you'd think there would be on one of them, you know, just the odds. The odds of it, because if you lose too many games, that's what tends to happen. I do think, though, that's how you get in this situation too. You know, even though mistakes are made everywhere, every team makes them, but you see continually when teams change a lot that even the guy, you have a lot of guys that are your draft picks that are kind of could go either way. You know, most of them aren't going to be Hall of Famers, and most of them aren't going to just be horrible, but there's a good percentage of them that need a lot of things to go well around them to succeed. And that's especially true with quarterbacks in the league, unless you're just a great, great talent. So those 50-50 guys that could go either way, a lot of times they get lost in the surf when you keep changing the leadership, the guys who are invested in them, the guys who had the scheme for them. I think that's a real problem. It's not just a Browns problem. I think that's a league problem. When you look at how many coordinators are new, you know, every year, or you just look how many coordinators are still there after 3 years, this is how you don't develop players in a league. And then, oh, by the way, we're going to have a new collective bargaining agreement in the last 5 years where you can't practice either. We can have four padded practices in the last 6 weeks of a season or something, you know. And so then you get into, you know, late in the year and you're Baltimore and you're trying to play two new offensive linemen on the left side and you play Aaron Donald. And what do you know? Your running back broke his arm and your quarterback blew his knee. Shock.
It is a shocker. And something else, you know, you talk about the rules in the CBA, but the rules in the NFL in general. And I wanted to get your take on it. The Rex Ryan tree of defenses in the National Football League have had a pretty awful year this year. Do you think that scheme, which is obviously, of course, the scheme being run here by the Cleveland Browns unsuccessfully in 2015, has just kind of been neutered in some ways by the rule changes and is no longer effective in the NFL when you're relying on such press man all over the field?
I probably wouldn't go that far. I mean, I think the players determine how well you can run your scheme. I think there's a real contrast in the league between the coaches like Bill Belichick from that tree, you know, Bill O'Brien, those types of guys who believe in the weekly game plan, you know, versus the people that want to have the system. And you can see the strengths and limitations on both sides. When you're really into a system, you need continuity and guys over a long time. So you see like Seattle's defense. Boy, when they have those guys together for a long time, it's great. But then when your personnel falls off, you're not as good. You know, that could happen to Tampa's defense years ago. You're running this simple scheme, but you're relying on good players and they have to be together a long time. That's hard to do in today's day and age. At the same time, if you're running 17 different defensive fronts every week because you want to,
you want to outsmart someone.
Then it's hard to kind of have an identity, right? I mean, you're sort of, what are you, you know? And I think that's why I go back to, you know, who your players are.
Yeah.
Is really what determines whether the guys are successful. I don't like the blanket paint, you know, this guy's scheme is horrible,
right,
or whatever, because, you know, Mike Pettine did a really nice job in Buffalo. That's why he's the head coach of the Browns. You know, they had a really good defense. But look at what's happened to the Bills. You know, they go from having a, you know, with Schwartz and everything looked good, and then all of a sudden you have this change. And is the Rex Ryan system at fault, or is it just, that's just, you just made another weird change? Look at Gary Kubiak leaves Baltimore, and now Joe Flacco's in another system, and Peyton Manning's hurt by the move too because it doesn't fit him. It's just all a mess.
It is all a mess. And Mike, last question for me before we let you go is, the last couple questions and your answers have been about continuity, and I guess my question for you is, continuity with the current staff or continuity with the right staff that also through that continuity becomes longevity? As you see in the AFC North, you get Tomlin's been there a while, you get, you know, Marvin Lewis has been there a while, John Harbaugh's been there a while, that the turnover that we have here in Cleveland, while sometimes is needed, it almost feels like you have to, and I'm not saying Mike Pettine and his staff are not the right people, but the right people along with continuity becomes the longevity.
It definitely does. It's hard to know if you have the right people when you don't have the right continuity or situation, you know, and I think in fairness to the people that are there, they could all be in better situations, you know, and that it's just so all interdependent and related. You know, it's like, why is Colin Kaepernick horrible? You know, well, everything that was around him that made him good is gone.
Yep.
You know, and he bears some responsibility for that, but could you win with him? Well, yeah, you went to the Super Bowl with him when you had a top five offensive line, a top five defense, and a coaching staff that really was invested in him and wanted him to play well and set things up for him to run and be a dual threat guy and that type of stuff. Now he can't play. What changed? Well, everything around him changed. And so when you look at Cleveland and you're trying to evaluate, you know, I guess you could say, well, Mike Pettine or whoever hasn't been so great that he could transcend it all, but you know, we've seen great coaches in Cleveland before. One of them's in New England right now. who didn't make it there either. So it's tough to know. You can't just stick with losing forever, but at some point you have to trust your people, and even if they don't succeed, help them.
It's true. Talk with Mike Sando from ESPN. Mike, we really appreciate the time. Obviously, another tough year here for the Cleveland Browns, and a lot of more questions certainly than answers abound with this franchise as they sit at 2-9. Appreciate the time.
Hey, thank you.
All right. When you come back, we'll wrap things up with our final thoughts here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.